Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with Him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today.
The parables in Matthew chapters 24 and 25 are the Lord's clear word to us regarding His second coming and many of the things that happen at that time. Interestingly, all three categories of people on the earth are covered in these three parables: the Jews in Israel, the believers in the church, and the unsaved Gentiles, or the nations. If we know these parables, we have a very good picture of what's ahead of us as the believers, the Christians. This is something that every saved believer should know. We hope you stay with us today as Ron Kangas joins us once again for a look at the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. Welcome back to the program, Ron.
Good to be back, and as always, happy to participate.
Ron, in our last program, we looked at the first part of the parables of the talents from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 18. Let me read those verses right now. "For the kingdom of the heavens is just like a man about to go abroad who called his own slaves and delivered to them his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and he went abroad. Immediately, he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained another 5. Similarly, he who had received the 2 talents gained another 2. But he who had received the 1 went off and dug in the earth and hid his master's money." Ron, one of the crucial aspects of this parable is just what these talents refer to. Before we continue the parable today, maybe it'd be good if you could review for our listeners, what do these talents refer to?
We should not think that the word talent here refers to a particular capability that we have by nature. This word signifies that the Lord Jesus, the King, has given to every believer a certain measure of the divine capacity to have productive service, to be able to exercise the God-given capacity to bring forth some results, some issue. And one of the basic thoughts is that this parable is only about believers. The one talented one who did not exercise what God had given him and is disciplined by being thrust into the outer darkness during the kingdom age, that is not an unbeliever who is perishing. That is a believer who had a talent, although small, failed to use it. And we know that the principle of the reward is the same no matter how many talents or how large the capacity was. The five talented one received the reward of the kingdom. The two talented one received the same reward, the kingdom. If the one talented servant had exercised his talent, he would have received the same reward. The Lord is not interested in the quantity. He's interested in our being faithful and diligent to exercise what he has given to us and be productive within that measure. This is the thought here.
Ron, the one who received the five talents and the one who received the two talents, they both invested them and had the profit. But now we come to the one talented member here. It says in verse 24, "Then he who had received the one talent also came and said, 'Master, I knew about you that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow.'" Let's join Witness Lee where he talks about this very response.
Verse 13 says, "Now, after a long time, the Lord of those slaves comes. This must be the secret aspect of his coming from the heaven to the air and settles accounts with them. This is to have the judgment seat, to judge all the saints concerning their works. And the one who received the five talents came, that means raptured, to the air and brought another five talents to the judgment seat. This means these five talents have been fully used. His Lord said to him, 'Well then, good and faithful slave, you are faithful over a few things.' And the few things signify what our burden today is. I will set you over many things, and the many things signify all the wonderful and glorious responsibilities in the kingdom. Enter into the joy of your Lord." The reward here from the Lord to the faithful slave is of two aspects: the authority and the enjoyment. The two talented one was also rewarded in the same way. Then, verse 24, let's go there. "And he who received one talent came." He was also raptured to the air and brought to the judgment seat. He said to the Lord, "I knew you, that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter. And I was afraid. Only with the slothfulness you have the fear. If you are faithful, you don't need to be afraid of anything. I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the earth. Behold, you have what is yours. I didn't lose anything. I've been faithful to keep whatever you give me. Now everything is here. You have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "Evil and slothful slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and I gather where I did not scatter." The Lord Jesus admitted this. In the Lord's service, he is always a hard man. A hard man. Every time in his service, he always demands reaping without sowing. He always demands the gathering without the scattering.
Well, Ron, this is a good point to stop because we just finished the parable of the 10 virgins in recent programs. And of course, that parable dealt with the matter of life. But in the matter of service here, both the slothful servant's word and the Lord's own word confirm that he is a hard man. What does this mean, that the Lord is a hard man, Ron?
Now, once again, we need to be careful not to impose upon the text our concept or our opinion about what it is to be a hard man. Let's realize Matthew is a book concerning the kingdom of the heavens. It is a weighty, serious book. And one aspect of our kingdom life in the context of the church life is that we are all servants of the Lord. With respect to the prudent virgins who paid the price to gain oil in their vessels, that is to have their being filled with the Spirit, to them the Lord is the bridegroom. But concerning service, he is the master, and he's a hard master in the sense that he is strict and expects results. That is the way in which he is hard. He doesn't just say to the one talented one who produced nothing, "Oh, it's okay, I love you, I have mercy on you, it doesn't matter." It does matter. The Lord wanted this believer and all believers to be faithful in service. So he is hard, that is strict in this matter. He is coming to expect results. And if there are results, he gives a reward. If there are no results, there is discipline. This is what it means for him to be a hard man.
Thanks, Ron. Let's take a look at this matter of this hard man who is reaping where he hasn't sown. This is a very enlightening point ahead. Let's join Witness Lee for it.
The Lord, he is hard because he is strict. In a sense, this thoughtful slave's word is true. But in another sense, it is not true. Why? You shouldn't say that the Lord has not sown. You shouldn't say the Lord has not scattered. He has given you one talent. That is the sowing. And that is the scattering. You don't need more seed. You don't need more scattering. What you have been given is good enough. You have one talent. And that is the seed. The seed has been sown. And some riches, possession, has been scattered. Now the Lord sends you to gather what he has scattered. You need to go to reap what the Lord has sown. And you need to go to gather what the Lord has scattered. I hope that we all could see this. The Lord has given you something. And what he has given you is the very producing element. If you practice to use it, it produces. If you hide it, of course, you just frustrate its producing. Don't take an excuse. Anything that is not of God, anything that is not of the Spirit, anything that is not spiritual, you shouldn't get yourself involved with. If you do, that means what? That means you dig a hole and bury the talent. The Lord has sown a lot, and he has scattered a lot. Oh, the harvest is vast, and the workers are few. You just go to reap. You just go to someone and reap some. We all can do this. By just so doing, we practice our talent. You could see one talent will become two, and two talents will become four, and four talents will become eight. All the time, your talent, which are God's possession under your hand, will be multiplied.
Ron, I like this point that the sowing really has already taken place. Can you tell us what this harvest looks like these days?
The Lord, in giving a talent, was actually sowing something of himself in grace to every believer. So that word sown implies something organic that should produce an increase, at least some measure of harvest. So the thought is the same. With the talent, the Lord gives the capacity, he expects results. When he gave the talent, he was sowing. And now he expects to reap a result that is a harvest, and he doesn't simply get back merely what he sowed. He doesn't simply reap what he sowed. The believer should exercise what was sown into him to get an increase, that is a harvest. Then the Lord will reap that harvest in a realm where he himself did not sow directly. He sowed into the believer. Then the believer exercised what was sown in him to produce a harvest, and the Lord is able to reap that harvest.
Well, Ron, we've seen so many cases in Matthew that point out a kind of discipline or punishment that may be the experience of even saved believers at the Lord's coming back. It's referred to as outer darkness in many cases. And again, we see that in verse 30 in this parable, quote, "And cast out the useless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth," end of quote. Well, we're going to touch this a little bit in this last section. Here's Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
Firstly, the Lord rewards the five talented one and the two talented one, and the Lord punished this one talented yet slothful servant. And the way this one was punished was to be cast out into the outer darkness. This is not something happened to the false believers. This is something happened to the real, genuine believer who is not faithful. The false believers, tares, and the evil Gentiles will be cast into the lake of fire, and there they will have the weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the defeated believers, like the one without the wedding garment, and like the son of the kingdom who have been defeated, and like this unfaithful servant, they all will be cast into the outer darkness, right outside the glorious sphere of the Lord's coming back. And they will suffer the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. So by this you can see here, is not a kind of perdition eternally, but it's a kind of punishment dispensationally. There is, beside salvation, the matter of reward and the matter of punishment. This reward and punishment will be carried out in the coming age, in the kingdom age.
Well, Ron, regarding this matter of the outer darkness, we have to be honest. There's a lot about it that we really don't know. The Bible just simply doesn't tell us that much about the outer darkness. But let's take a look at what we do know and what we can see in Scripture, and especially how it contrasts to what we know about the eternal destiny of the unsaved ones.
Regarding this, we need to be very sober in our thinking and poor in spirit and pure in heart in coming to the Word. I say this because there's a traditional concept which is an erroneous teaching regarding this. And that concept is that the outer darkness equals eternal perdition in the lake of fire. But that is simply not true. In Matthew, this expression, outer darkness, is used, if I remember correctly, 6 times. And every time, it refers to believers who have not been faithful to the Lord in their life. They don't have a wedding garment, or in their service, they haven't produced anything. And so instead of entering into the Lord's joy, the glory of the manifestation of the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, during which time the Lord and the overcomers as co-kings reign, instead of being in that realm of glory, they are disciplined to be in what's called the outer darkness, outside of that glorious realm. That is not the so-called hell. That is not eternal perdition. That is not the lake of fire. That is not what is mentioned in Revelation 20, where the unbelievers are cast into the lake of fire. The outer darkness is not identical with the lake of fire. One reason for this erroneous teaching and inaccurate concept is that the vast majority of believers do not know from the scriptures the truth concerning the kingdom. They're so saturated with the thought of going to heaven, everyone goes to heaven, and in heaven we may have different degrees of enjoyment, but they are not open in many cases to study the word again concerning the kingdom truth. We are saved eternally. We cannot lose our salvation. Our sins are forgiven. We have eternal life that cannot be taken away from us. That concerns eternal salvation. But this parable and the others concern the kingdom, the 1,000-year reign on the earth. And only those who are the prudent virgins and are filled in their soul with the Spirit, and the faithful servants who are diligent to exercise their talent, they will receive this reward. A lazy, passive, indifferent, do-nothing servant does not deserve any reward. He deserves some discipline to deal with his character and his failures. So this is what we are presenting. This is what is in the pure Word of God in Matthew 25 and throughout the Gospel of Matthew. This is what is faithfully presented by our brother Lee in his ministry on these parables. And this is what we, by the Lord's mercy, are seeking faithfully to present in this present fellowship. This is not a mere theory, a mere doctrine. This concerns our relationship with the Lord in the kingdom. How will he evaluate us? What will he say concerning us? Will he say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord"? Or will he rebuke us and discipline us because we were unfaithful? This is what we need to consider soberly, with the word in our hand and with a praying spirit and a seeking heart in the presence of the Lord.
Well, Ron, we just have to highly recommend that the listeners would spend the time and take the chance to get into these materials and research this matter more thoroughly. These verses have been part of the great controversy in Christian theology for centuries, as how to interpret eternal security, and yet you have these verses that clearly imply some punishment, possibly, for the believers. This interpretation seems to make all of the verses here in Matthew fit together. All of the concepts fit so that we don't have to cut big portions out of our Bible. So we do recommend the materials. You can call us at 888-LIFE-STUDY, and your contact with us means a great deal. Or you can send us a card, letter, or an email to let us know that you're listening and where you're hearing the program. That helps us a great deal as we plan on how to broadcast this program going forward. I'll give you the telephone number. It's toll-free 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, P.O. Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. Our next program continues the life study of Matthew chapter 25, and another parable awaits us, this time dealing with the resolution of the whole situation of what happens to the unbelievers when the Lord comes back. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense his life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the life study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own life study reading schedule or download more life study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.